Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast. My name is Gianmarco Segato, and today I'm speaking with stage director Catherine Malfitano, who will be directing the COC's new double bill of Puccini's Gianni Schicchi and Zemlinsky's A Florentine Tragedy during the spring of 2012. Welcome, Catherine, and thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure.
Now, obviously your career is multifaceted. You're a stage director, you're a singer, you're a well-known teacher of singers. Just to go through a few of your directorial achievements in recent seasons, your production of Tosca premiered last season at the English National Opera, and I understand it's going to be revived next year as well?
Yes, actually this year, 2011.
In the next season. You've also directed Lucia di Lammermoor and Madama Butterfly for Central City Opera and Rigoletto for Washington National Opera. And this is just to name a few of your directorial achievements. So my first question is, would be that not all singers necessarily desire or are suited to perhaps directing opera or directing in general. And what led you to go into this avenue?
I was brought up, first of all, in a very multifaceted theater family. My mother was a dancer and she was an actress, a child actress. Mm-hmm. My father was the violinist in our family, and so between instrumental, acting, dance, and somehow all of these facets coalesced into my career as a singer,
right.
And eventually as an opera singer. And I was always interested in drama from a very early age, I think probably as much as music was always dominant in my life, and the first sounds of my life were the violin, so that made a huge mark on my whole life and attitude in terms of how I related to life, theater through music. Dance also was very influential to me because I started to feel music as through my a dancer does through the body. And because my conversations with my mother very early on were completely about gesture and movement, analyzing dancers like Carla Fracci and how they were great dancers like that particular dancer was a great actress as well. Mm-hmm. I started to develop an eye, sort of editorial eye, from a very early age. And apparently from early on, I hadn't realized it. I was already thinking about directing, even in the very first years of my singing career. Mm-hmm. Just recently looked back on an interview written with Manuela Holterhoff, and she asked the question about my interests, and I said, well, you know, I do have other interests other than singing. And she said, like what? And I said, directing. And that's not going too far away from the theater, but the point being that I already knew somehow early mm-hmm. on that directing was something I might end up doing someday. The other thing I have to tell you is that I've always lived with the feeling that I was going to have more careers later on. I don't know how, you know, sometimes some of us feel a very strong force of destiny, la forza del destino. And my destiny felt multifaceted.
Right.
I knew somehow that I would sing, but I also knew I would do other things. Mm-hmm. And so directing actually came quite naturally to me. I didn't know it would. Can't be that sure of yourself. Mm-hmm. But I certainly knew that somehow it would fascinate me and sort of satisfy all the creative impulses in me.
Right.
That singing certainly did, mm-hmm. and certainly the repertoire that I did, the wide range of repertoire that I did, also satisfied my great dramatic instincts.
That actually leads me right into my next question, because that was something I've observed in your career as a singer anyway. And not to say that the more lyric roles that you maybe sang earlier on aren't dramatic. Everything's dramatic
when you're on stage. Yes.
But there was a certain sort of evolution, I think, towards roles we consider to be more dramatic anyway, Salome, Tosca. And I just wondered if that was, you know, you sort of described this already, but that was an impetus within your life. Like, within your singing career, you kind of wanted to go towards the more outwardly dramatic kind of roles. And if somehow, you know, informed
of
your
course.
Decisions to go into
directing
as well.
Absolutely. It all informs just as much as, we'll speak about that in a bit. My teaching also informed me very much. Maybe that was the most important deciding factor for me to make the move into directing, but I'll speak about that in a moment.
Right.
Yes, I mean, singing roles that had, let's say, not only through the libretto or through the drama, tremendous conflicts, you know, of drama, but it's also the music that's composed to such characters, you know. So, I mean, I'm influenced not only by drama, but certainly by the music. And so, of course, when you hear music of the ilk of Salome or Kundry and Parsifal or Macbeth, Lady Macbeth in either Verdi or the Shostakovich,
right.
Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk, all the works of Janáček, you know, Berg's Lulu, Berg's Marie and Wozzeck. Yeah, those are the ladies I was drawn to, very, very decidedly. I had to sort of hold my horses a lot early on and not get too excited about roles like Tosca in my 20s, and
right.
I had to wait until I had matured vocally, technically, and also, I think, as a person to play those kinds of roles later on. I learned a great deal from watching great ballerinas, though, you see, early on, because some of the greatest ballerinas portraying roles of mad ladies like Giselle and such were not young ladies. They were sometimes in their 40s, and that's old for a ballet dancer. And they could bring a great depth to their characterizations because of the maturity of them, of their life experience.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, you know, when I got to play Salome, I wasn't in my 20s, I was probably just out of my 30s. So I could bring to this 16-year-old girl a kind of a depth that if I were in my 20s, I doubt that I would have brought that. Same thing for Butterfly. You know, again, a 15-year-old.
Right.
Amazing how many 15, 16-year-old ladies there are in opera. But I cut my teeth on roles like Manon in Massenet, another one in that age group. Also extremely dramatic, multifaceted, more on the lyric side, lyric coloratura, which I did a great deal of that repertoire early on. I did Lucia in the beginning of my career as well as Mimi. So you see, I did really great roles right from the start. I also did Lauretta, you know, and later on I did the complete Tritico, all three roles in Tritico. I did all the Hoffmann heroines, you know, Antonia being really my home base role, but I did all of them. So the opportunities I had as a singer was you know, second to none in terms of the dramatic kaleidoscope that was available to me in my life, which really, and it afforded me also the opportunity to work with some really amazing directors who influenced also my viewpoint on drama. But it was already there in my family. We were already, my mother having been an actress and a dancer, that was our sort of daily bread, this, talking about the theater and movies and plays we had seen and operas and ballets. So I grew up in that.
Just completely surrounded.
Completely surrounded and very familiar with all styles.
Right.
My father also taught me to be Catholic in my interests musically, because he played everything from Bach to Bartok, Roger Sessions, and beyond, Tibor Serley. My parents commissioned Gunther Schuller to do work for them for concert music for percussion and string and dance. And so, I was lucky in that I was born into the right trunk. Mm-hmm. And the exposure I had growing up in New York as well afforded me the opportunity to see everything, not to mention just observing people in life in New York, sitting on subways. It developed my actor's eye, my director's eye, before I even knew that I was going to use these things. You know, so natural development. But the teaching.
Well, I want to discuss that. We can talk about that right now. What's interesting is that you're coming to do this project here at the COC, obviously on this double bill, but you have a connection with the COC already. You've been here and worked with our young ensemble singers. You were here last season, I think, for that. And I'm sure you do that many other
all
places.
All over the world. I've done that at English National Opera, for instance.
Yeah. So what is it that you particularly feel you bring to these sessions? These young singers who are, I guess, somewhat there technically, they're getting there. Is it, do you work on technique with them, or is it more their presentation and how do they bring across what they're trying to
communicate? I work on all aspects. Certainly, if these singers are not my private students, I began teaching privately and in master class, something like 12 years ago. I was still in the midst of a very busy singing career. And at that time, singers who wanted to study with me were obliged to have to travel to wherever I was performing. So that, you can imagine, limited the studio immensely. But I didn't have time for a great many people.
No.
And I started to teach in master classes. Then I started to teach classes. And I developed a class called Revealing the Actor-Singer Within. That was my course. And in this class, what I was able to do was to push the boundaries of the way singers think about their possibilities. In other words, to open up to them the sort of limitless possibilities of their dramatic instincts. The main word, revealing, is important because sometimes we don't know what we have inside of us that we can use. And so it was fun for me, fun and very challenging and exciting. It started with the premise that what I do and what I've been able to do is so intuitive to me because I grew up, the process of the layers of the onion, happened over a long period of time slowly. Mm-hmm. So it became so deeply embedded in me intuitively how to let my imagination go and become another character. I was very encouraged by my mother, who also was an eye for me, an editor, and helped me. And we had discussions about these things together. But then I went much farther because when you start to travel as a young singer, you're on your own and you've got to develop your own resources. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that once I was going to start teaching, I had to figure out a way to take my intuitive stuff and make it somehow verbal and take it outside of myself and present it.
So how do you communicate this to other people?
Yeah, but actually give them tools.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so I had to analyze what is it that I do exactly, and how can I put this together in a package that every singer should be able to have a tool chest that they carry with them. Have the keys in their own pocket to their own self-actualization as a singer. So I work on many different levels. I work on the level of interpretive skills and how to become a better actor. I'm not speaking about how to walk from A to B on the stage, because I think that's actually pretty easy. It's not easily performed or done, but that can be done well if you've got the right intention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so I work on the intentions of a singer. I also work on the idea of combining music with text and understanding that text doesn't live on an island by its own and music on another island far away. They really work together on the same island, and one feeds the other. So I'll be talking very much about what do you hear in the accompaniment. You know, all of this music, even though you think you're just singing this vocal line, is all you. Mm-hmm. It's all the different parts of you. It's the subconscious, it's, you know, the conscious, the unconscious, you know. So subtext, all of these things, it's layered. And then, yes, I will touch upon the technical aspects, but only only in the way that I can help them in the moment.
Right.
In other words, if somebody has a huge tremolo wobble, I am not going to touch that. No. If they're not my student.
Of course, yeah.
I'm not going to point it out to them. You know that you do have a huge wobble. No, I would never say that. That's
for the
teacher.
That's something you can resolve in the moment. Yeah.
And you can't resolve it in the moment. Yeah. You know, so anything that I couldn't resolve in the moment, I don't talk about. Mm-hmm. I try to get to it in another fashion. And sometimes you can solve things in the moment, you know, it's a little bit of a bandaging thing, but a creative one,
right.
You know. You can get things from singers by not necessarily having to always to go to the technical issues. Besides, one thing that my father taught me, and that's what made him, he was my teacher too, great, great mentor and teacher, was that technique is really only for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to communicate and express. So I try to teach my singers to think of technique as a means, a vehicle, on the way to something better, mm-hmm. and more exciting, you know, and much more important, you know. We can't get hung up just in the world of technique, which
that's
is what
true.
Happens with many singers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it then blocks them mm-hmm. from their creativity. The most important word I talk about is imagination. Mm-hmm. The imagination of an artist has to be huge. So that you don't depend on everyone around you to tell you what to do. The coach, the conductor, the director. Mm-hmm. It's strange that I have become a director, having been a very, very independent and very, self-sufficient artist
mm-hmm.
that actually could make a director look really great because I knew how to fill in all the needs of mm-hmm. the roles or the productions I was involved in. You know, David Alden once said in Opera News, in an interview, one doesn't direct Catherine. She kind of half directs herself. And I thought that was sweet because I thought it was sweet for him to even admit that because most directors wouldn't admit that,
right,
you know,
right.
But he's so confident in his abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked together from the very beginning of my career, so he's the one director I've worked with more than any other director over all the decades that I've been singing in opera. I really encourage my singers to bring things to the table.
Mm-hmm.
The directors love singers who have something to say. Not to tell the director how to direct it, but bring themselves as a very open and malleable, performer, artist, ready to try anything in rehearsals. That was my approach, and directors loved me, and I loved working with directors. So I think it's kind of natural that I've come into this area because of my very fond relationship to the director,
mm-hmm.
and what I couldn't realize, and this is the magic part of it all, I always was a singer who fit myself into a director's concepts of the story, and gladly I tried to figure out what is their concept, what are they trying to do here, let me help them. I loved doing that, especially when they had really great ideas for the mm-hmm. telling of the story. In other situations where they had no idea what they were doing, I just did it on right. my own, helped them out and did it. Well, I was helping myself out because I'm the performer is always the one,
who's out there.
So you've got to cover your bases. But what I discovered when I started to direct in 2005, and the first piece was Banana Butterfly, which I had, that was the role I did more than any other role. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that was a challenge. Because one could be criticized, or let's say not criticized in a negative way, but just criticized in journalistic terms. This is a role she's done a great deal, so she's probably taken this her staging from a lot of different productions and directors.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was warned about that. Oh, you should really start with something you've never been associated with. But in point of fact, some of the best commentary that was made on my debut was the fact that I brought something fresh, brought something new, obviously it came from a great knowledge of the piece, but that the ideas were not hackneyed or, you know, that they were fresh. And I was very happy with that. What I discovered in that moment was, I knew this somehow subliminally, but I didn't know it in reality or in actual terms. A singer, a performer fits themselves in to a framework, but a director makes the frame. And that's what I love about directing, is that it now gives me even greater opportunities to create the whole framework for storytelling. In other words, you as the performer, you can't do the whole storytelling all by yourself. It has to be an ensemble effort. The director gets to be the head of a team, gets to be the one who inspires an ensemble, gets to have everybody on the same page about the story. This is very exciting work. You know, liken it to a coach for a basketball team, you know, a coach for any sports that we can think of. It's an ensemble art form. And while we do, of course, need a great star singer for a role like Salome, Salome doesn't necessarily just work on the shoulders of one soprano. It's actually, to be a great production or performance of Salome, it depends on everyone's shoulders. And that's what a great director is able to do, is to bring out the best in every character, and make the story live for the audience in a way that they can be as involved in Herod or Herodias as they are in Salome, or the first Jew and the second Jew. I mean, that's, you know, that's the other revelation. I realize, people would think that I would be drawn only to my parts, you know, the roles I've sung, or the roles I would have liked to have sung. Not so. I'm fascinated by every character in the piece. I was, as a singer too. I was always fascinated to see how the director worked with the other characters, and I was very interested in all those characters around me.
I guess most people would say someone who's had a career as a singer, as you have, you know, having so much experience, that that could only help you as a director. But is there any way you could think of that? There are times where it isn't help, or that it has hindered you in any way?
Yeah, because there are more positives that I can think of.
The fact that
I am a musician works very well in my relationship with the conductors. I think sometimes better than those who are not musicians.
Stage directors
and
that aren't
as
musical.
They have collision, of course, the whole production time. I've seen that so many times.
Of course, yeah.
So I see that as a positive. The fact that I understand what a singer feels and thinks about every moment that they're singing the roles they're singing, and they're judging whether they can actually sing and lie down on the floor on the steps, or lie arch backwards and sing a high-lying phrase, or you know, so I can judge each singer, and I can almost in a kind of intuitive way again sense where the resistance can be for each singer in terms of whether there's a willingness or whether there is no willingness. I would say that maybe what is hardest for me is to, but I dealt with it so much with inept directors that I transfer what I did with that situation into this. Well, in other words, not inept singers, but singers who are psychologically burdened in some way, that they don't feel free to try things out. I think my wish is always to have people try things, like I was able to do. That's the only problem about that, is what I was able to do, I can't enforce on others.
Right.
So maybe that's a stumbling block of some sort.
Yeah.
But I've been teaching so much and teaching so, I mean, I teach full-time now at the Manhattan School of Music in New York. And so I teach in the studio and I teach in classrooms. And I have developed a way to gauge psychologically what I'm dealing with in front of me and the resistance points. And I'm very adept at moving around the resistance area and trying to excite them or encourage them to see their own potential. So I think teaching has actually helped me to be a very much more understanding and compassionate director, knowing that I'm not always going to be meeting someone like myself who was always willing to try anything.
Open to all possibilities.
And when I meet such people out there, I am delighted. And I understand why the directors liked me so much, because it's exciting when you have someone who's willing to say, do with me what you will. For instance, recently, I'm about to also direct Lucia at the Lyric Opera of Chicago in the fall of 2011, just before I go to English National Opera. I recently went to the Met to see the performances of Hoffmann with the tenor who's going to be in it, Filianotti. And I went backstage to meet him just to say, it's great that we're going to be working together. And he was very delighted. And the singers are quite, they generally are very happy to have a singer directing them, because they feel like a singer really understands them. You know? And so he said to me, and he knew already my reputation as a performer and my acting abilities, and he said, please do anything with me you want. Use me. I love to act.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's so wonderful, you know, because and I could see from the way he performed that his whole aura is one of extreme passion and just giving of himself, you know, completely. So that's exciting, you know, because it's a partnership then.
Wonderful.